A new year. We are in a new year. But just not an ordinary year. It's not a year that you've ever been in before. This is a new and fabulous and new things that's getting ready to happen. I tell you that when we was on our way here, even on the plane, everywhere I go, I'm getting introduced to new people, new things, everywhere. And so one of the things is I've had little kids sing to me just out of the nowhere. I go to a restaurant, they're singing to me in a restaurant. I go to the bathroom, and they knock on my door, the bathroom. It was kind of weird, but, and say, "Hello, can I sing a song to you?" And I'm like, yeah. And I get out, and she has this little ballerina dress on, and she's just singing and singing her heart out. That is just the beginning of what God is getting ready to do with his people. We are no longer going to be hidden. God is establishing an outward appearance that we can't even see on ourselves, but other people are seeing it and they're feeling it. When we were on our way up here on the plane, the first plane we got on, this lady sat beside me. I think she was Asian, and she was very disturbed because she wanted more room. She was in the middle seat. How much room can you have? Not much. And so she sat there and she complained. She kept telling the stewardess, "Can't you find me another seat? I don't like to sit right here. Well, when they lean their chairs back, it's going to be too much for me. Well," and then they'll leave and they'll come back and she says, "Give me your seat and you sit here." And I'm like, whoa. And I had to be sitting next to her. So I sat there and I was like, "You are not going to disturb my peace. I'm going to sleep." And so I put my pillow behind my neck and she taps me on the shoulder and she goes, "Can you just take your whole body and everything and just lean out in the aisle so that I can have more room?" I said, "No, I cannot." She said, "You can't?" I said, "No." And so the stewardess came by and they started trying to talk to her. And they kept saying, "Are you okay? Are you okay?" to me. And I was like, "You know what? I'm fine because I don't give air to this. I'm going to sit here and I'm going to go to sleep and she's going to enjoy my peace. I'm going to sleep." Put my pillow behind my bed and I head and I went to sleep. And when I woke up, she was sitting up there, finally had fallen off to sleep herself. And when we got up, get off the plane, they was all the students, "We're so sorry, we're so sorry. How did you handle that so good?" I'm like, "I didn't. I just went into the Lord." It wouldn't have mattered what I said to her at that moment. She wouldn't have heard it because she was already in the place she's going to be in. My workshop title is Everything Through Christ Gives Strength. And it's from Philippians. And so before I started that, to lay some other foundation, I need to ask you, where are you planted? Because it's going to matter a lot where you're planted and where God's taken us. I need something bigger than what I am to go where I'm going. You need something bigger than who you are to go where you're going. Because where we're going, no man literally has not gone before. This is a new season, and it is a new promotion that God is putting on all his people. Every pastor that is a pastor or any kind of ministry are finding out it's not enough to have a title. You have got to have a walk. And see, there's a difference between a title and a walk. There's a lot of people that have a title and they have no walk. They've been living behind their title. They've been hiding behind their title. And just because they're a preacher or they're a prophet or they're an evangelist or they're a pastor or they're a song leader or whatever it is, they think that is, "Well, I've made it because I'm doing my effectual part." And God says, "No, you have not." Because if you're not seeking something greater than yourself, you're going to be left holding that title and not God. And so he said, "You can't fill me if you're not, you can't feed me if you're not seeking something bigger than yourself." It's the way God starts telling me. So I start telling everything and my flesh, "You know what, flesh? You can't tell me what to do because you're not bigger than me. So I don't have to listen to you anymore. I need to listen to the man that's bigger than me. I need to listen to the God that's in you that's bigger than me. So don't come to me with yourself, because self is not going to feed me. But the God within you has the ability to feed me. You have a lot and a lot of Christians right now. And we are walking around and they are very tired. And they're very depleted, because they've heard the word and heard the word. And they have put out the prayer requests. And they have put out things that they need God to do and they want God to do. But the thing is that they have not let go. And I believe that's what that scripture means when it says, many are called, a few are chosen. Even though they may be holding on by the nail, something inside their gut says, I will not let you go until you bless me, God. I will not let you go until you change me, God. God, I got into this for the full deal meal. And until I get that, I'm not moving. I'm not moving. I am tired. I don't know which way to go. I don't feel your strength right now, but God, I'm hanging in there. And because you're hanging in there, God has said, you are one of the called and you are one of the chosen. Because I don't need anyone to be my chosen that's going to give up halfway of the battle. You think it's not going to be a battle to see our way back? It is. Because we gave up a tremendous piece of ourselves in the garden. Tremendous. And we gave it over to our flesh. See, we used to blame the devil. This is the main person we got to get past. It's this person right here. Okay? Because when we see the devil telling us to do things, we have gotten the spiritual insight to know that's not God. But when this man tells us to do something, we battle, we wrestle. Well, should I do it or should I not do it? Is that really God or is that really me or whatever, and this and that and the other? And I really believe with all my heart that God is rightfully dividing our spirit from our flesh in this hour like never before. And it's like we have not seen this kind of division helping in our bodies like he did. God is about to transplant his people into new soil. See, that old soil will not work anymore. It won't work anymore. So I need three people, if for illustration, if you would. Come on. Okay, Debbie, you can stay right there. Ben, you can stand here. And Aaron, you stand over there. So this is the way we kind of see ourselves. This is yesterday. This is today. And this is tomorrow. And what God's people has been doing is living in yesterday's blessings. Yesterday's blessings. You can't change them. You can't fix everything you fell down on. You can't remove what you fell down on. But you refuse to look at the blessings that are new every morning, which is today. Or they're over here saying, tomorrow in the future, I'm going to be a better person. And God is constantly telling them, I didn't promise you tomorrow. I promised you today. I promised you today. So if you can get that picture in your mind that the strength that God is getting ready to pour out on us is not a futuristic strength. It's not a yesterday strength. It's a today strength. And that today strength will not fail us. Yesterday's strength will fail us, because we can't change anything we've already did. The future is not promised to us, so we can't grab a hold to something that God hasn't did yet. But today, today we can stand strong in that that God is. And so we have a choice here. We can either live in yesterday, you can just keep living in yesterday, but I guarantee you, you're going to fall away. Because yesterday will not suffice for the kingdom, son. You can try to live in the future, but you'll fall away because you'll get tired of not seeing it come to pass. Or you can live in today, where he says, my mercies are new every morning. Every morning. That means every morning you get up, you got a clean slate. You got something to choose. You can get up in the morning and say, Father, going to do today? Father, what do you have for me today? Where is the manna you're pouring down into my spirit today? Or you can say, well, I done fell again. God, I'm gonna pick myself up and keep going. Well, how come I can't fix this? Why do I keep feeling all drugged down and tired? You know why? Because you're trying to live in something that is no more. This is what is. This is what is. Thank you, guys. I wanted to paint that picture because that's the way God painted it in my head. He said, everything through Christ gives strength. Christ was not a person that lived in yesterday. Every day, it says he would get up into the mountains. When he gets up into mountains, I think of him getting into the very presence of God's face. And he would say, Father, where do I go today? What am I going to do today? Who am I going to do it to today? What am I going to say? He doesn't say, well, tomorrow I'm going to do this or yesterday. No. He learned very quickly that my strength is living in the Father. That's where my strength is. If we're going to be like our elder brother, it says, greater things shall we do. What is the greater things? We're going to stop trying to walk and we're going to move out the way and let God walk it for us. Because that's the only way we'll be able to do it and walk through it. Then we sit up there and we said, we need something bigger than ourselves. And it's time for us to know and to learn how to go into real intercessory prayer. See, we've prayed the prayers, but it's time for us to pray the answers. See, we go to God like he doesn't know what the problem is. God knows the problem. He wants you to pull down the answer. That's what he wants you to do. See, up in heaven, God is sitting there and he's waiting for you not to come and say, please, will you? Oh, I beseech you. Oh, blah, blah, blah. He's waiting for you to come before him and said, Father, I need. And then he grants and then you pull it down. You start pulling down the things God has for you. And all of a sudden, you're going to start seeing your way lighter and not dark. So I went through an experience in the church, went to a big meeting. We had a huge elders meeting in our church. All our apostles was there and our coverings was there and all the ministry was there. And I sat in this meeting and I sat there, my husband and I and all the rest of the ministry. And the more I sat there, the more beat down I felt. And I would suggest something, and I got to a place where I was like, I don't even want to suggest anything. I don't know if you ever felt like that. I don't want to suggest anything because they don't want to do it. They just want to live in tomorrow. Why do I have to suggest it? I don't want this place. It was like all these thoughts going on in my head. So I get home, and all those who know my husband, he's a very meek man, very humble man. And I have a chair that I sit in over there. He has a chair he sits in over here. And I'm sitting in my chair and I says to him, honey, I'm done. I'm so done. He said, what do you mean you're done? You mean you're done with God? I was like, no, I'm done with Delta Christian Center. He said, what do you mean? The building? And I was like, no, I just, you know, and I'm trying to explain this to him. He has no expression on his face. And I'm like, I just get tired of suggesting. I guess get tired of doing this, and it's not changing. And it's not changing. I speak the words of God, and nobody wants to do anything new. They just want to sit in the old. And I said, I'm tired. I feel like I'm fighting a war that I can't win. And I sat there in the chair, and all of a sudden he says to me, well, what do you want to do? I said, what do you mean? I didn't say you were tired. This doesn't have anything to do with you. I said, I was tired. He says, oh, no. He said, when we became married, God made us one. So what do you want to do? And all of a sudden, reality hit me. And I said to him, we're not Ananias and Sapphira. The devil ain't going to come in here and kill both of us. God ain't gonna strike us both dead because you're walking in something that I'm trying to walk in. He said, okay, then what do we need to do? And I sat there and I just wept. I remember just crying. And I got up and I went in the other room and I hit my knees and I had nothing to say. I just said, here I am, God. Here I am. As I sat there and other things had been happening in our personal family life, and as I sat there and I kept saying, why did you bring us here? Why? Wasn't gonna do this. And as I sat there, and all of a sudden, Lewis comes in the room and he was getting ready to leave for Anchorage. And he said, I left you something on the television. I recorded it for you. You need to look at it. You need to look at it. You need to shut your phone off. You need to, because my phone is constantly ringing. He said, you need to lock the doors. If you need to shut the lights off so nobody thinks you're home, do that. Park your car in the garage. He said, whatever you need to do to get along, that's what I need you to do. And I'm going to leave. And I want you to watch it. Promise me you'll watch it. I said, okay, I'll watch it. He goes, no, promise me you'll watch it today. I said, okay, I'll watch it today. So I sat down and I turned the TV on, and T.D. Jakes came on. And he started ministering about being tired. And he started ministering about how all this time has passed and he is still exhausted in what he's doing. So then he did this. I got changed so I could do it. He did this. He says, all right, I'm going to give Debbie $100. So I'm going to give her $100. And this is what he did. He says, now I'm going to go to Debbie and I'm going to say, but you need some change in order to put something in the offering, right? So why don't you give me that $100 and I'll break it down smaller for you, okay? I'll do that. Would you like me to do that? Okay, I'll do that. Okay, now remember, this is your $100 now, okay? So I'm going to break it down smaller for you and I'm going to go through my money and see what I got in here. I can break it down smaller for you. So I'm going to give you back this. Okay. But don't worry. I'm going to give you the rest of the hundreds. Just hold on to the end of the service, okay? Don't worry about it. I'm going to give it to you. You trust me, don't you? Do you trust me? I'm going to give you the $100. You trust me. I'm not going anywhere, okay? So, you know, you got that money in your hand and I got it right here, and I'm going to give it back to you. I just can't give it back to you right now, okay? But I'm going to give it back to you, all right? You can trust me. Okay, now, so as we go on in the Word and talk about the Word, we talk about us sitting there and feeling like something has stolen something from us. Somebody has taken something from us. And we think about all the men and the women in the Bible that has went through such an enormous amount of things in their life. Remember, everything through Christ gives strength. So as you're walking through this time of desolation, you think, all of a sudden the light comes on. And God says to you, it's time for your dividend. And you say, God, what do you mean? He said, you know, all them years you done went through and it seemed like I didn't hear you and you thought I didn't hear you. It wasn't because I wasn't working. He said, but I'm a God that works on a time schedule and it wasn't my timing. He said, all them things you think is not going to be accomplished. He said, let's erase one thing. They weren't yours. They were my ideas. And I never finished that I speak. So for now on, stop carrying that on your shoulder like it was your idea. Because it's not your idea. It was my idea spoken through you. Now what you got to wait on is your dividend. And you're sitting there, and here's Debbie looking at this money and saying, well, she might be waiting on her dividend, but she hasn't given me that $100 back. And he goes on to say, so as you're sitting there waiting on the dividend, God's saying, but do you trust me? Because that's what it's going to bear down to. You're weak. You have become very depleted of strength. But do you trust me? See, the battle is in the mind. And God turned up the system against us. It thinks that the system is against us because the battle is in our mind. God's got to do a mind transformation to us. Have you not realized that, I don't know about you, there's a lot of pastors in this room or people that speak. Have you not realized that some of the things you say when you do metaphors, you know, when you're talking, that a lot of babes take that serious? And they think that's in the Bible. I mean, there are some statements that my pastor made when I was little. I'd fight for you and tell you that was in the Bible. Now all of a sudden I find out it wasn't in the Bible. That was just their thought on the subject. And that wasn't in the Bible either. And it doesn't say in the Bible, God helps those to help themselves. How many times do we say that? That's not in the Bible, folks. It's not written in the Bible. It's just something we say that sounds nice and cool and, oh yeah, I can deal with that. So God says, start going back and you start rethinking your thoughts. And know that the things that I have put in your heart, I am going to bring to pass. Every single thing I'm going to bring to pass. Now in Philippians 4:13, and my iPad is not working right. So somebody, it won't go to scriptures for some reason. So will somebody turn to Philippians 4:13, please? Yes, that one. So everybody, did everybody hear that? Okay, yes, please, so they can hear it. Okay, did he say part of your needs? Or did he say a fraction of your needs? He said all your needs. Okay, what is your needs as a son of God? What is your needs? So I'm not talking about your wants. What is your needs? What is your purpose as a son of the Almighty God? What are you called to do? The will of the Father. The will of the Father. Did he put a time limit on that? Did he say, I want you to do my will and it's going to happen in 4 days? Or it's going to happen in 2 weeks? Or it's going to happen in 2 years? He said, one plants, one waters, and I bring the increase. Okay? But we've been thinking, okay, God, you planted this seed in me. And it's been watered. Where's the increase, God? Where's the increase? Where's the money? He said, do you trust me? Do you trust me to bring about those things that I said I'm going to be bring about? You know, you think about being sick. We have a brother in our church that the doctor has given him 7 months to live. Every time I pray for him, God says to me, did I tell you to stop praying for him? No. Did I tell you that he had 7 months to live? No. Is the doctor greater than me? No. He said, well, then stand back and see the salvation of your God. And you don't give up until I tell you to. And you don't stop pressing in until I tell you to. See, because this body does not own us. It doesn't own us. The real us is inside of this body. I said, okay. So we've been praying for him. So we go over his house, Lewis and I, and we lay hands on him. And the whole church has been going on. He's the most sweetest guy you ever want to meet. And he's starting to testify how everything that's come upon him, he know he's caused. That's the first thing he needed to do. To know that the devil didn't do it. And the devil ain't after him. He caused it. He said, I repented from it. He said, and God told me to stop praying for a healing, but to believe for one. He said, there's a difference, Evelyn, in praying for a healing and believing for a healing. And it is. Because when you're praying for something, you're praying as if it's never happened. But when you're believing something, you're believing because you see the work being done. There's a time now we got to stop just praying about it and we got to believe for it. And then we can pull it down. It's not that these things weren't ours at the beginning, but we couldn't handle them at the beginning. We would have misused it. But now we're coming into a season that God says, my people need to see my miracles. They need to see my peace. They need to see the things being walked out that I want to walk out. And the only way they're going to see them, some of them, is through you. You're going to be the only God some of these people ever see. So how do you do that? You start walking in the divine order of the Father. There is nothing that you need that is not in the book. Nothing. Everything that you need to walk out this walk is in the book. Everything. And that may sound funny to some people, but I'm telling you, there is not a situation that you could possibly go through that is not in this Bible. Everything is in this Bible. He says, okay. So if you believe that, he says, tell us. He told us to think. To think means to meditate on these things. Okay? How do you meditate? See, I am to the point now, I'm breaking out everything God tells me. I'm not just taking it for granted that I know how to think on these things. And I mean, before I would read through that and it says, think on these things. Okay, I'm thinking about them. No, you thought past it. Now I want you to go back and meditate. Because in that scripture, that think means meditate. To meditate on it means for it to evolve in your head. For you to mull it over in your head, for you to, God, what do you mean by this? God, what, so you could be that cow that's chewing on the cud. You swallow it. Then you brings it back up again. Then you swallow it. Then you bring it back up again. And then you swallow it. Then you bring it back up. And the third time, it has to become liquid. And the whole body can use it. This whole body. Meditate on it. Meditate on it. I'm finding out that when he says, I only say what the Father says, he really means that. Because what he's doing, he's taking away our notes. You know, I got notes up here, but every time I look at them, I've went past what I was going to read next. You know, he's taking those away. Why? Because he wants us to talk heart to heart. It's a heart matter. It's not a mind matter. He did not bring us into pastorhood or anything elsehood that we talk so high our people can't get it. Or we so low they can't get under it. Or we so wide they can't get around it. He wants us to talk to our people and our people to talk to us. He wants to get rid of all the natural titles. And he wants us to start walking in who we are, not what we are. Okay, because I can walk and say, I'm a prophet till I fall on the floor. But until I have performed those things that God has told me to do, you're not going to believe it. That's just a word that I have on my name. If I'm a pastor and I'm not edifying the church, how am I a pastor? I'm sitting up front in front of everybody? No, your place actually is to sit in back lifting everybody up. That's what a pastor does. It's a person that lifts up, not a person that sits up front and look like King Tut. So this is what we got to do. There's a mindset, and that's where the strength is going to start coming from. See, our strength is not going to come from what we are, but who God has called us to be. That's how our strength is going to come. And we've been looking for our strength in every place but where God has placed it. And God says, it's time to look again. It's time to look again. He said, because you're getting close to the time when I'm going to pay off that dividend for you. But I'm saying, do you trust me? See, you got half of the dividend, but do you trust me for the rest of the dividend? Do you trust me? Do you trust me when everything in your life is falling apart? Do you trust me when your back ache and your arm ache and you can't sleep and things keep happening in your life? Do you trust me when your kids get attacked or you don't have that next bill to pay? Do you trust me? Evelyn, can you trust me then? I found myself saying, God, now the phrases I use, I understand. When I say, though you slay me, yet will I trust you, I understand that now. Because who you're slaying is the old man in me. That's who you're slaying. You're not slaying the spiritual Evelyn. You're slaying the old man in me that does not know how to stand up under the anointing. And you're creating something that's so much more greater. That while you're sitting on the plane, stewardess keep walking over to you. I said, why you guys keep stopping at my aisle? And they said, we don't know. But out of this whole plane, when we get to this spot, there's so much peace. There's so much peace. And they would sit there and they rub my shoulder. Or they'll come by and say, you need anything special? And then they're leaving. And the next thing I know, they're right back there again. And I'm like, you guys really like me a lot, huh? And so I started asking them about their jewelry. I didn't know what to say to them. And I'm talking to them, and it's like, well, I don't know what it is about you. But there's so much peace right here where you are that we seem to keep coming right back to that space. And one of them was a guy that kind of, you know, one of those kind of guys. And he kept coming back. He goes, honey, I don't know what it is about you. I'm like, and I'm looking at him, and I hear the Lord says, love the man, hate the spirit. Love the man, hate the spirit. And so that is what my eyes have turned from looking at the spirit. I can walk in the midst of any people, and I'm hoping that they get some more richer and not judge that person, but see what spark of light is in that person that I can pull forth. Where is it at? Where is it at? And so as we start doing that, we start giving strength back to that person that didn't have it before. God is promoting our abilities that he has put in us. This is such a new day. Mary Glazer, which is one of our coverings. I know you probably all don't know her, but she's a very profound prophetic ministry. And so she called us one day and she says, I've been asked to go to the inaugurated ball. And I was like, wow, that's cool. She goes, no, they asked me if I would pray over the new president that's being set in. And so she was calling around to the different churches that she cover, because I guess it's real expensive to go to this place. And so we were so excited for her to be able to go there. And like when Nancy was talking last night about the president, see, God doesn't care a hill of beans what we think. What he cares about is that nugget that she's going to put in there when she prays over him. Because she's a baptized, born-again believer. And she walks in the prophetic. And whatever she prays over him, he's in for a big surprise. Okay, so I'm like, whew, that's big. That's real big. So she's getting ready to go there. And I'm sitting up there, and God says, oh, this is just the beginning. He said, I don't know why my people think I don't have control over the world. They act like I lose control. I don't lose control. But I have timing. I have timing. And I move in my timing, not yours. My timing is far better than yours. I am teaching you what it means to listen to the Holy Spirit within you. I'm teaching you that. How to yield to the Spirit of God within you. Oh, God, I thought I learned that as a young Christian. Yeah, you learned about it, but you didn't learn it. Now I am bringing forth that watering seed that I've watered, and I'm bringing forth. See, it's always been there. It's always been there in you. It's always been there in me. We just hadn't known how to bring it forth. Why? Because it wasn't God timing. It's just set in that ground dormant, waiting for the right amount of fertilizer, waiting for the right amount of rain, waiting for the right amount of sun that only the Father can give to make it sprout. And now it's sprouting, and people don't know what to do with us. They can't hate us because we smile all the time. They don't know what to do with us. They could say something bad to us, and we'll say, oh, bless you. And they go, why would you bless me and I just told you off? Lack of a better word? Be blessed. Why would I not bless you? God's people. I have a women's group at home, and it consists of a lot of people that go to all the churches in my community. God told me to start the women's group. He said, there's going to be times where there's few, and there's going to be times when there's many, but you can't have it at the church. You need to have it in your home so that the ones that go to different churches doesn't feel like they're betraying their church. He says, I know that's, you know, very silly for them to think that way, but that's the way it's been put in them. That if they go to another church, then they're betraying their church. But if you have it in your home, you don't have a sign outside your door that says undenominational or Delta Christian Center. It's Evelyn's home. And so I started having this church in my home. And I tell you what, the ladies in there, when I get ready to go on trips, you should see your mother. You'd be so proud of her. And they come to my house. They know I'm getting ready to go. And they come there and lay hands on me. And Aaron can tell you, this is not something they do at their church. And they lay hands on me and they start praying for me. And they said to me, there's so much power here. I can't hardly stand it. They said, why don't I feel this anywhere else? I say, you keep praying like that and you will. Because you won't be able to sit on it. It'll just spread like wildfire. I said, and let me tell you a secret about your pastor. I know your pastor. He's a baptized, born again, speaking in tongue pastor that was asked to hold it back to have the position. So he held it back so he can have the position. But I know this about him. You go to him and you ask him about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and he will tell you. You don't know because you haven't asked. And if the gods prompt you to do something, then you need to go to him and tell him, God prompt me to do it, and watch and see what he does. So they tested me. I went to church the next Sunday, and one of the young ladies, she kept sitting there, and she said she was squirming on her seat, just squirming, because God told her, the pastor really needs a great deal of prayer. He needs some more strength from me. But he doesn't want you guys to know that. So you need to grab the people in the church, and this is a Baptist church, and you need to gather around the pastor, and y'all need to put hands on him and pray for the pastor. And she said, how am I going to do that? We don't do that here. He goes, because I said so. So she goes up to him. She was telling me, I wasn't at her church that day. She went up to him and she said, Pastor, I really feel like we're supposed to pray for you. And he perked up. And he said, really? She said, okay. He said, you can pray for me. She goes, no, all of us. And he had dismissed the church. They were leaving. He got on the speaker and turned it on. He says, church, we need all of y'all to come back up front. She said, my eyes got about that big. I didn't know what to do. She said, Josie feels that the church need to pray for me. And I'm waiting because I need it. But he was going to leave and not say anything. And they all came up and they started praying for her and she wept. She wept. She said, why haven't I known about this gifting that I have been carrying inside of me? I said, because now is the time and you can't keep that gift in head. God is bringing forth people out of the woodwork. He's not letting them sit on the pew anymore. He's not letting them say, well, the pastor got to tell me. No, you'll be sitting there and the pastor be going somewhere else ministering. Because this is the time that Christ is giving strength to his people to move out in areas they have never had the courage to move out before because they didn't want to lose their standing that man has put on them. You hear what I'm saying? Their standing that man has put on them. Not the standing that God has put on them, but that man has put on them. Well, I told him, I said, well, guys, told me in my church, I says, I'm sorry, but Ed Evelyn is gone. I said, if God tells me to say something, he is a very passionate God. And he will have me say it with the most utmost respect, but I will say it. And when he tells me to do something, I will be doing it. And I am not holding back anymore. I'm not holding back. Because we cannot move on if we keep holding back. We can't. Not as a church and not as a people. And so everywhere else, when I've seen Heritage Line up here talking, I was like, God is visiting his churches. You see how many pastors we had up here last night? And I'm sitting up here thinking, God is visiting his churches. And God is speaking to the pastors and saying, speak out. This is your time. Because there are many out there that's hungry. And after a while, you probably ain't going to know half the faces in your church like I don't. There's so many new people in our church, it's not, it's unreal. And you know, they just been coming out of the woodwork. And they're hungry. They sit there 2 weeks and they come to you and say, can I be put on the prayer list so I can get the prayers? Because every week I'm sitting on my job and doing my break, I can pray. I want to start praying, you know, and they're coming to you and they're asking for stuff. Is there anything I can do? Do you have kind of a ladies meeting? Benjamin's wife, very, very quiet young woman. She's always been real quiet, okay? Maybe not to him, but to everybody else. And I'll tell you what. Last Sunday, David got on the piano, and I got up there to just give an exhortation, and all of a sudden, songs just start rolling out of my mouth faster than I could think them in my head. They just kept coming out. David hopped up and got on the piano. Ben hopped up and got on the drums, and the church started dancing, the whole church, not two people like normally. And I looked around, and here comes Ben's wife. She was getting it. She's up front, and I was like, I was flabbergasted. I know that she has it in her. But I was like, but this is a young one. This is a young one. Oh, gosh, she'll never be the same. She'll never be the same. And now here she is at her first conference. She'll never be the same. You tell me, God did that. God went to her sister-in-law and said, volunteer to take Bona and Ben's kids so Bona can go to the conference. And she's not to the conference to keep Ben hungry, comfort, or be his companion. She's at this conference because God wants to deposit something within her. Something within her. Because he said, you cannot be unequally yoked. God has got to work on our mates so that we are yoked right. Lewis and I, we are partners. We can hear and say the same thing, but he can start it and I can finish it. He can finish it and I can, you know, vice versa. And that's the way God wants it. You know why? Because remember, man and woman was one person at one time. And if he's taking us back to the beginning, what do we have to be? One person, one mind, one spirit. That's the way we have to be. Because if you're not, then what are you? Unequally yoked. Unequally yoked. There's husbands that's coming in and wives all over this universe. Why? Because God says, no more should there be twain but one flesh. One flesh. And the people are waiting to see it. They're waiting to see it. They're crying out for it like never before. I tell you what, some of us feel like we've been shortchanged. You ever felt like that? Like you've been shortchanged. Like, God, I'm doing this, and all of a sudden, Brother Sycamore Soul get up and say the same thing you've been saying for centuries, and everybody's on board. And you're like, seriously? I've been saying the same thing, and nobody... And he says, no, you haven't been saying the same thing. Yeah, I've been saying the same thing. No, I've been saying the same thing. And so why do you care who gets the credit? You should only care that the thing gets done. But we're so manized, we want the credit. We want the pat on the back. I don't care anymore. I don't care anymore. Right before I got here for conference, see, the devil is so stupid, he messes with the wrong thing to try to find you, make you weak. He forgot, I have lived around these women. I have been places with these women. They have been through the trenches with me. I have been through the trenches with them. I can call them on the phone and don't even have to go into detail. They can hear my voice and know something is not right. And when I first got here, he was like, you're over there by yourself. Everybody's together. I'm like, what? And I'm tired. I just got on off the long plane. I'm tired. I'm not even really constantly, honestly, thinking. And so I guess he thought I caught her in a weak spot. I'm going to really hammer it in on her. And all of a sudden, in the middle of that thought, it was almost like I went like this in my head. Who are you and why are you in my head? That is the most baloney lie I've ever heard of. Are you seriously kidding me? I don't care if I'm in Kundakun as long as I'm in the same state. Because I'm going to meet, we're going to be at conference together. There is no division between us. We love each other. And love doesn't have to be sitting on top of each other to love each other. Are you going crazy? And I said, and you do this right before I'm supposed to speak. Are you seriously kidding me? But that is what God is going to start letting us hear. See, it comes through your mind. And sometimes you think it's your thought. It was not my thought. I have never thought like that. Anybody that knows me know I have never thought like that. I'm like, you are not even my thought. You picked the wrong thought and the wrong person. I said, because let me tell you what. I happen to know that I know that I know that I don't walk with a bunch of women. I walk with a bunch of sisters and daughters of the King. And they are not people that would ever, ever do that to me. And the thought just went away just as quickly as it came. We got to do that, folks. That's part of that strength that God's given us that we thought we didn't have, but we have it. Can you turn to what chapter is it? John 15 and start in verse 5. Anybody got that? Could you read it? Go down to 8. I'm sorry. Go ahead. He did divide in me. No, read from 5 to 8. I'm sorry. Now, anywhere in that, did you hear him say beg? Plead. Did he say plead? Did he say that? No. He didn't say, oh, Father, please bring this to pass. Did he say that? What did he say? Ask. Ask. See, we're beyond the begging and the pleading stage. That's for babies. You know what I mean? Like when a baby is little, the only way they know how to get mommy and daddy's attention is to make sounds. So they cry or they scream or they holler or whatever. And you have, then you, you notice them. Oh, it's time for them to eat. Oh, the diaper's wet. Oh, God is so tired of changing our diapers. It ain't even funny. He was like, I don't like to change big people diapers. You guys need to pick up your big panties and we need to go on here. If you get knocked down, you get up and you go on here. This is time out for me to be wiping your nose. No, you can't drink any more milk. Start chomping on some meat. Because people are crying out for meat. And the simplicity of how they're crying out for it is magnificently put. I tell you what. There are always people that says, what if? What if? What if? Oh yeah, take that word out. God, you said it. I believe it. And I doubt it not in my heart. And whatsoever I sow, that shall I also reap. If I sow to the flesh, I'm going to reap the flesh. But if I sow to the spirit, I'm going to reap the everlasting life of the spirit. His word is undetestable. It cannot be changed. It cannot come back void. Whatever he says has to be. There is no way that, I don't know what time it is. There is no way that it cannot be what it's supposed to be. Because God is not going to let his word come back void. As I kept reading through these sentences, it says, may this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. What mind did Christ Jesus have? It's the mind of the Father's. What is the mind of the Father? Aha, so you just like me. See, we know all the scripture needs. But do we take time to dig it out? To dig it out. I want this mind to be in me that was in the fathers. And then if you go to that chapter, it says, and this mind that was in the fathers. And it starts saying what the mind was as in the father. See, we not only needed to know it on paper, we need to get it in here and in here. Because you know what? There's a whole world out there waiting for us, guys. And they're not waiting for no half-baked Christians. They want us to have been put in the oven, and they want us to have been baked all the way. They want to be able to stick that wood, which represents flesh, in us, and when they pull it out, they can't pull out any substance because there is no wood left in us. It's the only Spirit of God. I need you, and you need me. And that's the great thing about this walk. We don't have to walk it alone. We don't have to walk it alone. We have each other to walk it with us. God tells us not to speak in regret. We can't do that anymore. He wants us to speak in hope. He wants us to speak in is. You make your statements true and believe them. Believe it's going to come to pass. I got this morning, I was so tired, I overslept, so I wasn't in prayer. And I heard this knock on my door, and it was my son. He was like, why are you in your pajamas? It's time for prayer. I'm like, is it? And I looked, and he goes, what do you want to do? I said, well, you're gone. I don't want you late for prayer. And mostly I was thinking about his lovely wife. I didn't want them to miss out on anything that was going to take place. I said, then I'll go ahead and get up and I'll call you when I'm dressed. So you go on. So he left and he went to go on. And while I was in the room, I was telling Aaron today that it was like I had a brain cramp. I couldn't remember where nothing was. You ever woke up and your mind just felt like it was, you couldn't remember where you put anything? And I was like, Holy Spirit, where did I put my, you know, that little black bag? If somebody walked in the room, they would have thought I was crazy. There's a little black bag, you know, that I had, and I don't know where to put it. And I went to look in the suitcase, and I heard just as clear as a bell, it's in the drawer by your bed. I said, I don't put stuff in that drawer. That's their drawer. He goes, yes, you did yesterday. So I went over to the drawer and pulled it out, and there was the little black bag. I was like, thank you, Holy Spirit. I pulled it out and got what I got. I was like, oh, shoot. Where did I put those boots I was going to wear? And I was like, this is crazy. Why can't I remember stuff? And he just started talking to me like it was another person walking around the room with me, just taking me over to my boots, took me over to this, took me over to that. And then I forgot to take a pill or something. And it was like, all of a sudden, I got ready to shut my thing. Goes, nuh-uh, you didn't take your pills. And I'm like, oh, gotta take those. They'll think I'm nuts. Let me go take my pills. They're not brain pills, but still. So I went, started doing stuff. And I was like, all of a sudden, I stopped in the middle of the floor and I went, this is all Aaron's fault. Because last night when we ate dinner, he started asking me questions about the Holy Spirit. And I told him the Holy Spirit is a person and he talks to you all the time. And I was like, it was almost like I could hear him chuckling. I was like, so you trying to make sure that I know that what I was saying was true, right? I get you, but thank you anyway. Thank you for doing this. Wait till I see Aaron tomorrow. I'm going to tell him, Aaron, I wish you'd been in my head this morning. You would have seen how real the Holy Spirit was. Because he just guided me all around the room. And so, anyway, what God is doing is this. He's saying, all the tears you've cried, Debbie. He said, all them days you waited for me, how much money I owe you? He said, all them times you thought you've been shortchanged. Now you think of this. All them times you've been short things. I wish I could spend this. I have been holding on to this money ever since I got this word. He won't let me spend it. He said it was for my word. Okay. All them times you've been shortchanged. He said, I know what I owe you, but he goes, right here, I got a new place for you. Sit right here. This is your new place. Because you know what's getting ready to happen to you. He said, all that time you've been shortchanged, all them tears you cried, all that place that you felt that way, he said, I'm finna tell you, you are not on the short end because your dividend time has come and I am going to rain on you and I'm 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 going to rain on you like you have never been rained on before. And all of a sudden, you're going to see everything that you have cried out for God come to pass. And you're not going to have to wonder because I'm not just going to give you your $100. I'm going to multiply it. I'm going to make it so much more than what it was. And the reason why I'm going to do that is because your faithfulness to trust me. You waited for your strength to come. You didn't think about whether it was going to come or not. You waited for that strength to come. And because you waited, I am going to deliver. And I'm going to deliver it not because of who you are, but for what you stand for. And the people who's going to look at you and say, oh, my God, what happened to Debbie Andrews? And she's going to say, I've been elevated to a new place of faith because God just paid off all my dividend. Everything I owed, everything that I want to owe. You got any places in your life you wonder why God hasn't answered? I'm telling you this morning, your strength is coming. Hold on. God's not done yet. He's nowhere near done. And when it's all said and done, you're going to find out you're going to be stronger than you've ever been before in your life. Why is it? Because everything through Christ brings strength. Everything through Christ brings strength. Not just a little strength either. I'm talking about mega strength. I'm talking about you're going to feel the mega strength of God like you've never felt it before. You're going to open your mouth to minister and you're going to minister greater than before. She's going to start painting on her pictures and the propheticness that she moves in the natural is also going to be the propheticness that she moves in her hands. And oh my God, your dividends, you're not going to be able to hold them in your hand. They're going to be so many because I'm ready to pour my strength into you. Every branch that you have is going to start developing. See, we've been like a tree. You know, at the end of the year, up in Alaska, you can really see it. When it's time for winter to come, everything sucks down to the roots. And all of a sudden, everything just, boom, winter. And you can really see it up there, and it just does it. When it's time for spring come, everything all of a sudden comes up from the roots. And boom, spring is here, leaves start popping out. well, you're going to pop out even more. You're not just going to pop out one at a time. They're going to wonder what happened, because this one branch that has been one is not going to be a bunch, a bunch, a bunch, a bunch, a bunch, a bunch. And you're going to know it's my dividend. This is time for me to pay my dividend. God is paying it. It's not what you feel about, or it's not going to matter what you eat. Long as you're eating on the things of the Lord, of course. Because God is not going to shortchange you. He's going to carry you to a class all by yourself, because it's his timing. It's his timing. So everything that we do, we have to do. God tells us not to speak in regret, to need the hope that we have, the hope that we've learned, in whatsoever state I am, therein I will be content. Because that contentment only comes about as we realize that my strength is not going to fail. So I'm going to sing this song, and that would be it. You've taken the hand of Jesus, stepped out upon his promise, and it seems you have trusted in vain. But the answer you have prayed for is on its way and paid for. So hold on, a little longer, hold on. Hold on a little longer, hold on a little stronger. The testings of the Lord are pure as gold. He may take you through the fire, but he'll burn off dross and mire. So hold on a little stronger, hold on. That's where he's bringing us to. This is going to be the most fabulous year that we have ever had. It's already happening. It's already happening. Somebody offered to buy my husband's business. Somebody we don't even know. And they called us right before I left and says, Lewis, whatever you want to, you and your wife figure you want to pay for, just let me know. I went to the bank and they told me whatever it is, they would give me the loan. He said, all I have to do is pay 20% of it, and whatever you think that you're worth, he said, I'm ready to pay it. He said, I'm ready to pay it. And if you decide you want to drive a little, he said, you can just call me. I'll let you drive a little too. So we're in a time of change. We don't know what we're going to do. We're just praying. But I tell you what, God knows. God knows. And so God bless you. I hope you enjoy. Do you have anything you want to ask? If not, I'm going to let Nancy come forward.